This is Focus West Michigan for Monday, May 11, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. Grand Rapids has a new sister city, making it a player in one of the most productive industrial hubs in the world. WGVU's Dee Morrison reports.
Vaughan is in Ontario, just north of Toronto, and one of Canada's fastest growing cities. The partnership with Vaughan integrates Grand Rapids more deeply into the Great Lakes St. Lawrence Economic Zone. Grand Rapids Mayor David LeGrand says it offers access to jobs, investments, and global trade routes in an important world economic region.
We obviously have strong connections to Detroit and we have strong connections to Chicago, but the third leg of that triangle really is the Toronto region.
The partnership is designed to build relationships in industries such as advanced manufacturing, healthcare, and food processing to strengthen supply chain networks. Plans also include cultural exchanges of students and artists, public art initiatives, and sports diplomacy. LeGrand notes the communities aren't carbon copies, but complementary.
They've done some really innovative work on their green space and park space, some things that we haven't done. On the other hand, they're much more car-centric than Grand Rapids is, and so they're looking at us and feeling jealous about how walkable our city is.
Vaughan is the seventh sister city for Grand Rapids, joining others in Poland, Ghana, South Korea, Japan, Italy, and Mexico. I'm Dee Morrison.
Grand Rapids entered the next phase of its search for the city's new chief of police. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the details.
Earlier this year, when city manager Mark Washington appointed Joseph Traeg as Grand Rapids' interim police chief, he also committed to the process identifying the next leader of the Grand Rapids Police Department. Washington selected California-based Public Sector Search and Consulting Incorporated to lead the recruitment. Led by Gary Peterson, the firm was recommended by a review team of internal employees and three citizen members of the city's Public Safety Committee. Public Sector led two previous police chief searches. Washington stated, quote, "The search for our next police chief is one of the most important leadership decisions I will make. We will ensure residents and city staff have ample opportunities to meet the finalists and share their perspectives," end quote. Washington emphasized that all feedback gathered will be considered before he makes the final appointment. The job posting opened Friday with on-site interviews tentatively scheduled for the week of June 15th. I'm David Limbaugh.
In February, Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer signed laws mandating school districts limit student use of cell phones during class time, but as WGVU's Patrick Center tells us, some child safety organizations give the state law a C grade.
The Phone-Free Schools State Report Card gives four states, Indiana, Kansas, North Dakota, and Rhode Island, A grades. They meet the gold standard, requiring student cell phones be turned off and stowed away from the start of the day until dismissal.
So we call that bell to bell.
Lena Nealon, Director of Strategic Partnerships at the Institute for Families and Technology and Report Card Project Lead, points to five key improvements.
One is boosting the academic performance because they're not as distracted. It improves mental and physical health. It increases teacher satisfaction. This is a major one. It protects student safety and privacy, and it strengthens school community relationships.
The report card is a collaboration of several child safety organizations. Why did Michigan receive a C grade? Students are only banned from accessing their cell phones during class time. Nealon points out research shows that it increases distraction in students.
Because it's literally that craving to check their phone that they know they'll be able to check it during passing period actually makes them even more distracted.
And once they're in the hallways, checking in with their phones takes precedence over interpersonal relationships. The Phone-Free School State Report Card recommends Michigan amend its law requiring a bell-to-bell policy. I'm Patrick Center.
A West Michigan nature preserve has received special designation as an old-growth forest. WGVU's Dee Morrison spoke with an expert about why the Leopard Nature Preserve is ecologically important.
The 52-acre Leopard Nature Preserve in Caledonia joins a growing network of forests across the country, recognized as protected old-growth forests.
These forests are extremely rare.
Leona Addy is the Great Lakes Regional Manager for the Old Growth Forest Network.
Most of the country underwent extreme logging in the 1800s. So west of the Mississippi, there's about 5% of remaining old-growth forests. East of the Mississippi, it's about 1%. And in states like Michigan, Indiana, Illinois, it's less than that, at about 0.5%.
The forest at Leopard Nature Preserve is not considered true old growth. Long ago, it did undergo a clear cut.
However, since it has been properly managed throughout its time and because it has such strong resilience, it has abundant large old trees, complex canopies, vast root systems. It is developing everything that we are looking for in an old growth forest.
It is now one of 26 protected old growth forests in Michigan, including Dolan Nature Sanctuary in Kent County, Amman and Duncan Parks in Ottawa County. I'm Dee Morrison.
Coming up soon, we look at a long-overlooked fish in the Great Lakes, bringing together researchers from Michigan and Norway. But first, news from around the state. A new set of Michigan regulations for home-based childcare aims to make it more accessible in the state, although some people have raised concerns about safety. Colin Jackson has more.
The rules cover licensing, staffing, programming, and other requirements. The state agency in charge of the rules says the changes make it easier to run a home childcare facility through simpler requirements, lower staff-to-child ratios, and clearer language. Mina Hong is with the Early Childhood Investment Corporation. She says doing so pairs well with the state's other goals, like providing universal free preschools.
Easing access to licensing for childcare programs, for home-based childcare programs, so that they can continue to be integrated in our robust early care and education system will be so essential.
Some groups are sharing concerns about a few of the changes, like the eased staff ratios that could let providers care for more babies at once. I'm Colin Jackson.
The Michigan Court of Appeals has largely upheld a state utility board's handling of a state law that clears a path for approving wind and solar energy projects, even if it's over the objections of local governments. We have more from Rick Pluta.
The lawsuit argues the Michigan Public Service Commission stepped outside the boundaries established by the legislature. 75 townships filed the lawsuit, arguing the commission further diminished their power to protect the quality of life in their communities. A unanimous three-judge panel agreed with some of the points made by the local governments, but held that by and large, regulators abided by the law. Public Service Commission spokesman Matt Helms says that will allow regulators to wrap up their reviews of project proposals.
The court upheld the commission's order as consistent with the parameters established by the legislature.
An attorney for the township says the decision is being examined. I'm Rick Pluta.
Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson says she is safeguarding the security of the upcoming elections from threats inside and outside of Michigan. Benson is running for governor, and some opponents criticized her for, quote, refereeing her own game. But Benson notes Michigan's voting system is run by local clerks and the nonpartisan Board of Elections. She recently vowed to divorce herself from any decisions regarding the governor's race, just as she says she's done during her past statewide campaigns for Secretary of State.
But what I am doing differently this time is making sure we are building that firewall so that we are acting in a way that's transparent and taking this opportunity to actually become a model for how to ensure state's chief election officers are continuing to run for office while also ensuring the integrity of our elections and operations.
Benson adds that the state could face challenges from President Trump, who has often falsely said Michigan's elections are rigged. Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support this show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. A long-overlooked fish in the Great Lakes is bringing together researchers in Michigan and Norway. Pink salmon have been in the Great Lakes since the 1950s, but recent growth in their numbers, both here and abroad, have scientists asking new questions. IPR environment reporter Ellie Katz has the story.
In parts of the Great Lakes, like in Lake Huron and Lake Superior, there's a trend of pink salmon populations growing over the last 25 years. But it had gone largely unnoticed until recently, when fish biologist Joe Langan started asking questions of local resource managers.
Do you catch pink salmon? Do anglers tell you about pink salmon? Do you have any thoughts? And folks were saying, we haven't thought about them a lot, but you know, we're seeing a lot more of them all of a sudden.
Langan is with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration.
And there's a bunch of elements of pink salmon biology that make them really good at colonizing new habitats and increasing their abundance really quickly.
Despite that, Langan says, there's not cause for concern yet about pink salmon in the Great Lakes. Their numbers are still low, and they don't seem to be affecting other species. But that is not the case in other parts of the world.
Pink salmon are causing management concerns or challenges right now in three oceans simultaneously.
In the Pacific, their native habitat, they're beginning to crowd out other salmon and fish species. In the Arctic, as waters warm up, they're expanding their range. And in the Atlantic, where pink salmon are invasive, growing numbers are causing big problems, especially when they run up rivers to spawn. Eva Thorstad is a fish biologist with the Norwegian Institute for Nature Research.
You can see big numbers of pink salmon splashing around. You see their dorsal fins sticking out of the water. And when they die, they start to die in August here, then you start to see dead pink salmon around.
Norway only began monitoring pink salmon in 2017, she says, when anglers noticed a population explosion. In the 6 years after that, pink salmon numbers increased by 50 times in Nordic nations.
It's the big numbers that worries us, that they both will outgrow the native fish by sheer numbers, compete with them, impact ecosystems when they die in the rivers and add nutrients to our nutrient-poor rivers.
So researchers across the world want to know more about pink salmon. That's where Thorstad and Langen are hoping the Great Lakes can come in. They recently published a paper calling for more research on pink salmon in the lakes.
It's useful for us as an example to see what might be our future. They have adapted to freshwater life in the Great Lakes.
For example, their life cycles here are longer than almost everywhere in the ocean. And they've survived despite the lake's intense seasonal temperature changes.
They're doing some different things than they are in the ocean that are really important for us to try to nail down, because it changes some of the calculus of what we think might be possible for the species. You know, my dream is to get more of those lines of communication going to try to do some more of this cross comparison.
Langen and Thorstad's paper, which was published at the end of April, aims to get more researchers studying a species that may demand more attention soon. I'm Ellie Katz.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Monday, May 11, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan tomorrow. Thanks for listening.